The following podcast of SB Nation Radio is brought to you by BetDSI.com. With the NFL and college football seasons here, it's time to take that pigskin knowledge to the bank at BetDSI.com. With 20 years in the business, an impeccable reputation for great service, fast payouts, and an excellent mobile interface where you can play, win, and get paid, it's a no-brainer. BetDSI.com is the place to go. They have every wager option you could ever want or even imagine. And if you're watching a game, you can use BetDSI's live betting option to bet on the fly. Whether it's the NFL, college football, Major League Baseball, the NBA, the UFC, esports, global sports, or even politics, celebrities. I mean, really, it doesn't matter. Whatever you feel like betting on, BetDSI has it for you. You get started today with BetDSI, you can get some extra bang for your buck, too. They're offering double your money for your first deposit. That's right, deposit to start winning and get up to $2,500 free. That's double your money right from the get-go. So what are you waiting for? Double your bankroll right now by joining BetDSI.com and use promo code NATION101. The games are more fun when you get paid, so play at BetDSI.com. That's BetDSI.com and use promo code NATION101.
This is SB Nation AM,
another kind of daytime radio program.
On SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Oh, listen, you've got a really interesting draft coming up in the NFL, especially in the quarterback position, with Kyler Murray involved in it now and where Dwayne Haskins could go, Drew Locke could go. Do the Broncos still take a quarterback now that they're going to acquire Joe Flacco in a trade? And which teams would be interested in Kyler Murray? The Combine is going to occur at the end of this month, once again showing us how the NFL just continues to stay in the news. This is one of the things that they love to do. They can stay relevant all the time. This news about Joe Flacco going to Denver is not even a month before this could actually be official. But just in principle, the fact that this story yesterday becomes a big, big deal because of who it is. Joe Flacco, and we have done this a couple of times during Super Bowl week, especially when with Tom Brady. He is the outlier to the AFC conundrum of the Roethlisberger, Manning, and Brady run that those three quarterbacks had in the Super Bowl. He is the outlier of that. Whether you like him or not, whether his talents have gone down or not, the reality of it is he's a Super Bowl MVP. Okay, I mean, do with it as you will. He's 34 years old. He makes a lot of money, but the Ravens are moving forward with Lamar Jackson. If you're the Broncos and you get him, you better find a way to make it work. Restructure his deal because he's going to cost you too much money. And if you don't want him anymore and you're on the hook for that kind of dough, you won't find a willing trade partner unless he does work with this deal. The other question is, and this is kind of the trickle effect of it all, what does Case Keenum do? Where do they go? Where does he get traded to? And could it be possible that Keenum goes to somewhere that sets off another domino of another quarterback needing a home? Going back to the one issue that I have going into the draft, despite Arizona's statement that Josh Rosen is their guy, if I'm a betting guy, I'm going to put a little dough on the trade ability of Josh Rosen to somewhere else so they can get Kyler Murray. I think that's a good little bet. You might actually do pretty well with that. Don't buy into the smokescreen. These are the things that they have to say. But where could Josh Rosen go? Well, not Denver, but what about the Giants? And what would that leave Eli Manning do? Possibly to Jacksonville. And how does that all play out? The quarterback situation in the NFL right now, it just feels like it's really, really meaty.
Hello, baby. Yeah, this is the Big Bopper speaking.
It's Thursday, which means it's Throwback Thursday on SB Nation AM. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Let me guess, this is the Big Bopper?
Given the
it's a bold guess. I don't know.
Bold guess.
We're going to have to go back to the tape to find out.
We're Throwback Thursday today, 1951. We're celebrating Jack LaMotta's, well, not really his loss, Sugar Ray Robinson's win over Jack LaMotta.
Yep.
Jake LaMotta, I should say. Jake LaMotta, the Raging Bull, based on his life, Robert De Niro, on this date in 1951.
Yeah, didn't do that well at the box office.
I know, and it's considered one of the top movies of all time.
Yeah, it won Oscars.
Yeah, it did.
Robert De Niro got one.
Yep, sure did. Martin Scorsese didn't, because Martin Scorsese didn't get an Oscar until The Departed. That was always the big thing, that he never had won for directing or whatever it was.
Yep.
Matt Kuchar, pro golfer Matt Kuchar, is under fire. I never thought Matt Kuchar was a polarizing golfer. Seemed very likable, Cooch. But when he was at a tournament, he needed another caddy. So he got a part-time caddy, and he won $1.3 million. He gave the caddy $5,000. That is way below what you give a caddy who helps you win. The guy's name is Ortiz. David Ortiz...
Poppy was out there.
David Garral Ortiz.
All right, baby.
Was the
guess? You got to throw that middle name in there.
Yeah, you better. You better. David Garral Ortiz was a fill-in caddy for Kuchar's regular caddy, and Kuchar won the event, $1.3 million. Now, what caddies usually get is they get like a standard amount of money for the week, regardless, because they do have to travel. They pay for that. They pay for that themselves. So the golfer will cover that in a check that you get no matter what, make the cut or not. But there's also a bonus structure that is in place, and caddies get usually 10% of any win that the player receives, usually 5% in the top 10 or something along those lines. But if you win a tournament, you usually get 10%. So he was entitled, this part-time caddy, to $130,000. Instead, Kuchar gave him $5,000. So the caddy went to Kuchar's agent, Mark Steinberg, and said, hey, this is what he wrote. Quote, I'm a humble man who takes care of his family and works hard. I am reaching out to you to see if I can facilitate me receiving a fair amount for my help with Matt winning $1.296 million. I'm not looking to disparage Matt or give him a bad name. Fair is fair, and I feel like I was taken advantage of by placing my trust in Matt. Kuchar, now you think, okay, Kuchar just won a lot of money. This, you normally would have given 10%. Steinberg's camp offered the guy 15,000 additional. So he would have gotten 20 grand for the week's work. Ortiz declined, said he was seeking 50,000, which is still less than the 10%, which he's normally entitled to. He told golf.com, no, thank you. They could keep the money. Now, Kuchar, listen to this. So if that had happened to me, if I gave a guy $5,000 and I realized, oh my God, that was what we kind of agreed to, but he was unhappy, and maybe I should have given him more because I did win the tournament. You know what? I don't need the bad press. Here, I'm sorry. Take your money. Kuchar said, quote, it's done. Listen, I feel like I was fair and good. You can't make everybody happy. You're not going to buy people's ability to be okay with you. And this seems to be a social media issue more than anything else. I think it should be knowing that there was a complete agreed-on deal that not only did I meet but exceeded. The guy agreed to caddy for Kuchar for $4,000 at the beginning of the week. So Kuchar said, I kind of feel like, unfortunately, some people have got it in their head that he's deserving something different than what we agreed on. And it's just too bad that it turned out to be a story, because doesn't need to be. We had a great week. I ended up giving him $5,000, and I thought that was more than what we agreed on. I kind of think if we had a chance to do it over again, the same exact deal, he'd say yes again. So to caddy for Kuchar for that week, Kuchar said, I'll give you $4,000. Kuchar didn't know if he was going to make the cut or not. But he said, look, I'll give you $4,000 regardless. 2 days or 4 days, I'll give you $4,000. $4,000 for a week. Guy says, great. He wins the tournament. Kuchar says, here's $5,000. Now the guy wants more money. Kuchar ain't losing any sleep over this. I got to be honest with you. I would. I'd probably be like,
just hearing you tell that story, all of a sudden, I'm the only thoughts that were going through my mind is that Kuchar now just became Don Johnson from Tin Cup.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And here's the deal: he's not a hateable guy. People like him.
No, I mean, and like the character in Tin Cup that Don Johnson played, I mean, he wasn't hateable. It was just right. Like, God, he's just annoying.
Yeah,
you know. He's just...
And by the way, in that movie, Don Johnson's character, when he tells Roy McAvoy. I'm going to beat you with you name your club and I'll outdrive you, and then hits the ball down the road.
Yeah.
That's not a jerkish thing to do. That was the right thing to do to prove a point.
Right.
Right. To prove the larger point. So yeah, you're right. He's, you know, he's kind of like a womanizer, but so what? But yeah,
it's not Shooter McGavin going, oh, you're fired.
Yeah, exactly.
He's
exactly.
Not that bad.
I mean, I don't know, man. This is, well, listen, Matt Kuchar does Skechers ads. He's popular on tour.
He's a professional golfer. He's got sponsors.
Just dump the guy some more money.
Paying him $50,000, paying him $100,000 after you just won $1 million, it probably doesn't put a huge dent in your bank account.
Yeah, Kuchar has actually in his career made $46 million in his career.
Yeah,
I mean, he's not
what Gulfstream 6 owning money yet.
Yeah, right.
Mickelson,
Mickelson makes that a year. Like he, with all his endorsements and what he brings in for royalties. Yeah, and all so, that
I mean,
stuff.
He hasn't hit that part yet. But no. You're a professional golfer, dude. Yeah. I mean, just come on.
So funny though. Like most of what's so funny about this story is that most athletes, when they're caught in this kind of situation, will just write a check to make it go away. He's doubling down. He's like he's like in public going, hey. I gave the guy $1,000 more than we agreed to. So lay off, okay?
Because now you know what that did? Now I have sympathy for him.
Yeah, that's right.
That's where that came from.
He's just like, you know what?
Hey,
I told him I'd pay him $4. I gave him $5. So you people get off my back.
A deal's
right now.
A deal, man. I don't care if you won that tournament or not.
That's what he's saying, which is like, there's a part of me that's like, well, all right. You know, look, that's good for you. I would be like, I just want it to go away. I don't want the bad publicity. I don't want people to boo me at tournaments. I don't want any. Kuchar's like, I don't care. I told him $4,000. He did it for $4,000. What am I supposed to do?
Exactly.
Give him more money?
Yep.
What am I supposed to do? Out of nowhere, just hand him more cash? Like, because the deal
am
is
I to deliver it in a briefcase as well?
Yeah. Because
what does he want?
With caddies, this is the thing with caddies. Like, let's say you're a pro golfer and I'm going to be your full-time caddy. Okay. We have a contract. And I negotiate that contract with you. So I say, whatever wins, you win, I'll get this amount. You finish in the top 10, I get this amount. But that's written down. Like when a player gets 10, when a caddy gets 10% of the player's check for winning a tournament, he's not getting that out of the generosity of the player. It is part of the employment contract. This wasn't an employment contract. He needed a caddy and told the guy, win or lose, last place or not, miss the cut and no money, I'll give you $4,000. And the guy said, great, I'll take it. Right? And Kuchar's like, that's the deal. So what do you want? There's nothing here. Leave me alone. Good for him. I still would have wrote the poor guy a check. People are like,
yeah, just because, I mean, he's a part-time caddy.
Yeah, and in this tournament was, I don't know what country it was in, but like people are already making disparaging remarks about him. Like, man, this is more money than this guy will ever see in a lifetime. He lives in a concrete hut. We don't know anything about this. We don't know anything about this guy. Stop making assumptions.
In a grass shack.
Yeah. Stop making assumptions where this guy lives. Like, I mean, give me a break.
I mean, listen, you know, I mean, for a weekend's worth of work, I would love $5,000.
Me too.
But, you know, if the industry standard dictates that, you know, hey, it's usually 10%. Yeah, 5% of $50,000 after you win $1 million, that would be hard to sit there and go, hey, bro.
Yeah. Exactly.
I mean,
exactly.
What's $50,000 between friends? You know, I mean, that is a lot of money. To you, that may be nothing. To me, that's almost life changing.
It's life changing. Exactly. Exactly. Sean Drotar is going to join us from Denver coming up at 40 past the hour. We're going to talk to him about Broncos and Flacco. That is the big NFL story.
They're extremely happy, I believe, in Denver.
Yeah, I'm sure they're thrilled.
I'm sure there wasn't a rush to the local club, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, exactly. I need to chill out for a while. I need to make this go away.
You need to smoke my cares away. God.
All right, 800-777-2907. Coming up, another Colorado story coming up involving Nike, Kaepernick, and sporting goods. That's next on SB Nation AM.
Thursday, which means it's Throwback Thursday on SB Nation AM. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
SB Nation AM, Tony D, Ron Culver. Hit us up on Twitter, at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver. Use two N's with Ron, please, as we roll along here on a Thursday. It's Throwback Thursday, celebrating 1951. Johnny B. Good. This is in Back to the Future 1 or 2, which is the one where he performs as 1, right?
1 and 2.
But and
2.
And 2. That's right.
Not 3.
Yes. Well, this is the one where he goes, hey, you know that new sound you're looking for?
Yeah.
He goes,
this was, yeah. I mean, this is this song was discovered by cousin Marvin Berry.
That's right. Good for you. Good for you. You know this stuff well. I like
although
that.
Although the person who sang it is Chuck Berry.
Chuck Berry. Make your tax refund go further at O'Reilly Auto Parts. If you've been delaying some much-needed car maintenance, delay no longer. Spend a little of your tax refund on your vehicle now. Save on expensive repairs down the road. O'Reilly Auto Parts is exactly what you need at a guaranteed low price. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. Do you hear the story about the Colorado sporting goods store that is closed down because they stopped carrying Nike gear? After the Colin Kaepernick campaign, the guy said, I'm not doing this. Now he's closing his store because, you know, he needed Nike gear. He said in an interview that one of the things that when you shut out Nike, you pretty much shut out the jersey business. And he needed jerseys and he couldn't get them once he decided not to carry Nike. Oh, he did. You know, he took a stand on the Kaepernick campaign, didn't like it. So he banned Nike,
you know,
and unfortunately cost him a store.
You know, if he was just able to wait, hold on just a little bit longer, he could have been the exclusive apparel for the AAF.
I know.
Because they use Starter.
They're using Starter jerseys. That's right.
Could have carried them all.
I don't own a jersey, but now I'm going to buy a Memphis Express jersey. Just
yeah,
to have
you
got to.
Yeah.
Oh, goodness.
I'm going to go Fleet.
Yeah. Go San Diego
go Fleet.
That was pretty good. The Nike boycott effect on his business was just one of several reasons he shut down after 21 years, he told a local television station. Is in addition to the fallout from the Nike move, he cited the growth in online shopping. That always happens. That ate into his sales and increasing rent. That happens too. But the Nike decision was definitely a factor. Being a sports store and not having Nike jerseys is kind of like being a milk store without milk or a gas station without gas.
You remember the movie You've Got Mail?
Yes.
Yeah, with Tom Hanks and yes. What's her Meg Ryan.
Meg Ryan. She owned a little small bookstore that was getting
right.
eaten alive.
And he was like the head marketer for the big bookstore chain.
Right.
That was coming in to move in across the street. I thought that movie, was it like around that time that movie kind of helped? I mean, maybe it helped or just shined a light on, hey, you know, we should pay attention to these mom-pa shops. And then there was like a rise in it. It felt like there was like a rise, like, you know, let's go to, you know, the smaller guys. Let's help them out.
Yeah, but if you remember in that movie, a lot of times Hollywood will take this, you know, take the movies like that. And in the end, it's a happy ending. She shut her bookstore down and they didn't reopen it. Like the big.
That's true. Yeah,
the big bookstore didn't leave. Like they didn't go, we've changed our mind and we are leaving this area. Please visit the Cute Blondes bookstore for all your book needs.
Yep.
No, they were like, "That's no." She closed it down, and that was.
But she got the man.
She got the man. She got Tom Hanks in the end. But yeah, I can understand.
Did he quit his job for her?
I don't remember.
I never do that.
So
sorry to talk rom coms on a Valentine's Day.
Yeah, that's true. That's very true. There's a part of me. Listen, this poor store owner. There's a part of me that is sympathetic to him. Because I've said this many times, the kneeling of the national anthem is not something that I take lightly for people who really have a problem with it. There are personal reasons why many people who really, really hated that and really really felt that was disrespecting to our country and the people who have served this country. I do not dismiss that. But I also look at this league, and I think the way Kaepernick is being taken, the way he can't get back into this league, I do think there's something wrong with that. So this guy really felt strongly enough to say, that bothered me so much that I'm not going to carry Nike gear. And he's probably, being in the business 21 years, and by his accounts, mostly good years, he said, he knows what he was doing. Like, he knew that stand, that he was going to have to do some extraordinary things to keep his business afloat. I'm sure he has all the numbers as to every Nike product that has been sold in his store, whether it's shoes, jerseys, a gear, whatever it is. And so he knew that if I'm going to do this, I better make sure I can cover the balance sheet with anything else that I'm selling. And so I'm sure he knew he was really taking a risk. But there's a part of me that wants that understands that did that strong belief really warrant the loss of his company, loss of his business after 21 years? Do I respect him for losing his business over this, or do I think that was a foolish decision? I kind of go both ways on it. Like, he felt strongly enough that Nike wasn't worthy of his business because of what they were standing for with the promotion of Colin Kaepernick. But at the same time, he was signing his own business's death warrant by saying Nike and everything that they carry is no longer going to be sold in my store. Maybe he was counting on the good people of Pueblo for realizing the stand he was making and saying, we'll buy whatever. It doesn't matter. We'll buy all of the other products that you sell. But in the end, you know, we'll buy to buy. We'll buy to support. And maybe that didn't come to fruition for him. So on the one hand, good for you for taking a stand and willing to stand up for your beliefs. On the flip side, it cost you your business, something you had 21 years in, and I don't think that's the best business move. Sometimes when you're in business, you have to make decisions that go sometimes don't warrant those kind of decisions. You have to kind of go, I'll have to bite the bullet on this. For the survival of my business and the people who work for me, I'm going to have to do something. But, yeah, I mean, rent is always a factor. Online sales is always a factor, of course. But, you know, not carrying jerseys at a sporting goods store, that's probably one of the things people buy. They like to come in and buy that. And that's one of those things, too, where, sometimes you just look at that jersey, and it's cheap or it's on sale. And it might be an impulse buy. So that's kind of too bad. But still.
Yeah, it's always, I mean, that's a huge, that's almost like a sporting goods store's bread and butter, because I don't think they cost a lot.
Yeah.
But you certainly can sell them a lot.
Yeah, no kidding. There's a sporting goods store in my town. Every time I go in there, there might be one other person in the store. I don't know how it stays afloat. Like, every time I go in there, and I got two kids who played sports, I'm always going in to get something.
Right.
Right. There's always like, they always need something. And every time I go in there, there's always like one or two people. So I'm wondering if, you know, how much a profit margin on a jersey, or how much profit margin on the athletic gear. Because it's, you know, they got Alabama stuff. They got Tennessee stuff. They got Vanderbilt stuff.
Don't you notice that with a lot of little stores? Like a lot of mom-pa stores, that's kind of what it is. Like, how do you stay in business? There's only one person in there.
I don't either. When I lived in New Jersey, there was a bookstore. We used to go into this bookstore all the time. Two people in there.
That's a bookstore.
Like, yeah, exactly. And I used to be like, this ain't long for leaving.
Well, you know
sure
what
enough.
The biggest racket, the biggest scam is the mattress stores, like Mattress Firm.
Dude,
you've heard about that,
I've
right?
I've heard of this story. Yeah, I've heard of this story. Why does every city in America need 25 mattress stores?
Right? And then there's
this theory
one,
that
there's
what's
one.
The, what's a, the official theory? Because I'll butcher it.
Well, no, the official theory is that it's a front. It's a cover.
Right. It's a cover for
that,
some illegal,
you know, for money
business.
Laundering.
Right.
And the idea behind it is like, well, where do you put your money? Under a mattress. Because there's literally.
Not bad. That's pretty good.
There is literally a store right around the corner from us. I don't think a person has ever set foot into that store.
We have three in my little town. In my town, we have three. And I bought a mattress. I was the only person in that day I bought the mattress.
Right.
I was the only person in there trying to buy a mattress on a Saturday.
On a Saturday. If you go to normal stores on a Saturday, it's wall-to-wall people. Like, if you go to, you know, name any store, out there, any chain store. Because, I mean, let's face mattress stores, I mean, most of them are chain stores. And they're just crawling with people.
We were looking for a new bed, and we went in there with the only, like, literally the second we walked in, pounced. Hey, you want? Can we help you?
Exactly.
Yeah, is this the mattress store?
Yes, I'm looking for something to lay
so
down.
So you mean to tell me I could actually lay down on these mats, take a nap, and nobody would see me taking a nap because nobody else is coming in for the rest of the day? That's pretty much it.
I mean, what a great job to have, right?
No kidding. No kidding.
Just lay down. So, like, I know what's going to be in here.
That's great.
Just going to sit and play on my phone.
Sean Drotar is going to join us in 5 minutes. We'll talk to him about what's going on in Denver with the Broncos and Joe Flacco and Elway, how his reputation is holding up. I don't know. He'll knock it down a little bit, but he has not been able to figure out the quarterback situation for the Broncos now with Joe Flacco coming in a trade that will come official next month. We'll see what the Broncos will be planning to do. I'm really curious about this. A lot of it because of my ties to Denver, having lived there for 10 years and covering the team. I was there when Elway got the promotion. The job.
Right.
When Pat Bowlen gave it to him, and I thought it was a home run. I thought it was gonna be great for the city. I thought he did such a good job with the arena football team. I thought he was the guy that really knew what Denver was looking for
Doing a good job.
Yeah, he did. Got Peyton Manning. Can't do better than that. Two Super Bowl appearances with one title. Can't do better than that. Well, you can, I guess. But now people are wondering if he's scared or nervous or doesn't want to rebuild, all that. That's all coming up next.
It's Thursday, which means it's Throwback Thursday on SB Nation AM. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Again, Jake LaMotta losing on this date in 1951 to Sugar Ray Robinson. That's what we're celebrating on Throwback Thursday. Joe Flacco heading to Denver, another quarterback for the Broncos. Sean Drotar joins us, Mile High Sports Radio, joins us to discuss this. How are you, my friend?
I am well. Yourself?
I'm doing good. All right, the Broncos pick up Flacco, another quarterback coming in, another veteran quarterback coming in. Immediately, in the first little less than 24 hours of this news, Sean, how are Bronco fans taking this? What's the feeling in the community?
Well, I think the team's been so bad over the last couple of years that they'll look at Joe Flacco and they'll say this is an improvement, if it's an incremental one. He's certainly a better quarterback than Case Keenum. Defenses have to respect him more than they do Case Keenum. But he's also 34 years old, and so it doesn't seem like he's the long-term answer for the team.
All right, so John Elway again going veteran. Is he afraid to rebuild here? Is there something about just getting a young guy in the draft and grooming him to the position and going down that road? Is he worried that that's not where he wants to go?
Well, I don't think he's afraid of it, because he's basically done it twice with Brock Osweiler and with Paxton Lynch. He's dabbled at one point, if you remember, with Mark Sanchez. That happened briefly, and then had to settle for Trevor Siemian. So I think he's of the belief that that's a route they can go, but I think he's impatient enough to realize that it hasn't gone very well thus far, and they'd rather have a quicker fix, and they believe that there's enough in the tank for Joe Flacco that will be the quicker fix. The question is in an AFC West in which the Chiefs are ascendant and the Chargers are basically right next to them, how high can the Broncos really go in the AFC West in 2019?
This seems to me an expensive move to make to get a small improvement at that position. I mean, I don't know how the numbers will work when you get rid of Keenum and what Flacco could restructure his deal. It just seems initially a little expensive. Is that a concern, that there might not be enough cap room to fill some other needs?
Oh, you bet. In Keenum's case, he has a $10 million dead cap hit. Now, he's set to make $18 million this season in base salary, but it's $10 million if they trade away or cut him. And the word, at least now, at least they're going to look into trading him and see if they can find a partner there. But yeah, that's an extra $10 million off the cap that you'll eat. Plus, of course, adding Flacco's contract, which, you know, I understand that he could renegotiate it, but he's under no obligation to renegotiate it. And his cap hit this year is $18.5 million. So you're talking about $28.5 million outlaid to the quarterback position. I think that's all fine if you have Aaron Rodgers or Tom Brady or Drew Brees or even maybe a Patrick Mahomes. Maybe not so much if you have a 34-year-old Joe Flacco.
What is attractive about Flacco? Rick Scangarello is the new offensive coordinator, the quarterback's coach of the Niners. Vic Fangio is the new head coach, defensive-minded. But what does Flacco, what is the attraction that Elway sees in Flacco?
Well, I think what he sees in Flacco is someone who can handle things immediately and step in. There's no learning on the job. In Case Keenum's case, pun not intended, he had just come off of that season where he had played in Minnesota as the backup, started 11 games there, but it had been a little bit of time since he's been given a starting job and no time in which he was able to hold it. So there was a learning curve there in which Keenum simply wasn't really capable of overcoming. In Flacco's case, you have a first-time offensive coordinator in Scangarello, as you mentioned. You have a first-time head coach in Fangio, who does have some experience, by the way, in Baltimore, working under Brian Billick out there. And you have these two guys that are in their first spot in these roles, and you want the quarterback to not be another thing that you have to teach them how to do. So in Flacco's case, he's going to be able to pick up anything you throw at him. He's going to be able to step in and be a leader in the locker room immediately. And all those things, I think, are very important to John Elway. And it is something, fair to say, that no rookie would be able to do either.
How do fans see John Elway in that city? Obviously, king of the town, two Super Bowl championships, one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time. But this quarterback thing over the last couple of years has people sort of second-guessing his ability to do this. He's got a Super Bowl title. I thought that you know, hey, that will buy you some long-term credibility at the position. Why is he taking such a hit?
Well, because I think there doesn't appear to be a clear plan of succession after Peyton Manning. And then there was no question when the Broncos even landed Peyton Manning prior to the 2012 season, in which that season, by the way, ended with Joe Flacco throwing a bomb that ended them at a very, very chilly day in Denver in the AFC playoffs. But that, at least, even when they picked up Manning, was not going to be the long-term plan. Remember, people weren't even sure if he could really play again, and Denver took a risk. It doesn't seem like it now, but at the time, it really was a risk. And everyone knew the Manning era would come to an end, but from the second he picked Osweiler, who really wasn't very good, Paxton Lynch was a complete disaster. And like I mentioned some of those names before, I mean, goodness, at one point you tried to go with Mark Sanchez, and he couldn't beat Trevor Siemian. Your first-round draft pick, Lynch, couldn't beat Trevor Siemian. And you could make the argument that Case Keenum put up stats very same to what Trevor Siemian did his final year as a starter with the Broncos. It just cost you nine times as much. So this ends up being a situation where John Elway, one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time, simply doesn't seem to have the ability to evaluate quarterbacks himself, unless, of course, he's actually grabbing one that's fully formed. Joe Flacco, at least, is fully formed.
In terms of what the Broncos have coming in, listen, I'm a Steeler fan, so I like Mike Munchak. I think him being an offensive line coach there is going to be fantastic. Love Philip Lindsay. I love the fact they run the ball. What offense is Joe Flacco stepping into? I know that Scangarello is going to put some fingerprints on it. How much of what the offense is expected to look like is positive for the Flacco addition?
Well, we saw actually a lot of what Scangarello will do when you saw the Nick Mullins era for a little while in San Francisco last year. That was really where Scangarello earned all his stripes and where he basically was elevated into a position around the league where he ended up being capable of being the offensive coordinator. He got Mullins ready in a short time, but you didn't see some sort of new ideas where guys are moving around a lot. It was really a rather standard, efficient style of offense that was more of a West Coast type, I suppose, if you look at the way it sort of came about. But I think you look at an offense like the Rams, you saw the Rams in the Super Bowl, and by and large, without a couple reverses or jet sweeps here and there, it was rather conventional. Not every offense necessarily has to be all this sort of excitement and new sort of wrinkles in it to be successful. By and large, what we saw in the Super Bowl between the Patriots and the Rams is the teams that got there were the teams that were just efficient and effective in executing their plan. So I think for Flacco, what you're asking is a guy that can get rid of the ball quickly. His mobility or lack thereof is not a concern because John Elway has said consistently he believes that a quarterback has to win from the pocket. No matter what he's seen about mobile quarterbacks, he firmly believes that. So you're basically removing a lot of potential headaches from a coaching staff that has a lot of first-timers in important roles.
Sean Drotok joining us, Mile High Sports Radio out in Denver on the Broncos and Joe Flacco and the acquisition that will probably take place next month when the new year begins. Sean, I don't want to be too cynical here, but I want to throw something at you and you can shoot this down as quickly as I say it. the Broncos are an organization that they don't lose a lot. They don't have a history of a great long period of time of futility. They only have had, what, back-to-back losing seasons like since the 70s. This is going on. How much of this can we attribute to John Elway saying, look, is Flacco going to win us a Super Bowl? Not likely. But you know what? I'm not going to be the guy at the helm of a stretch of Bronco games of three losing seasons. He probably will get us 8-8. I want to avoid a losing season to not make it 3 in a row.
That may be the case. As you correctly pointed out, the last time the Broncos lost been back-to-back seasons where they had losing records, and this is remarkable,
really
was
is.
1972. That's the last time they had back-to-back losing seasons. They haven't had back-to-back losing three in a row since the two that preceded 1972. That was the year of the merger between the NFL and the NFL. So that's been really forever since the Broncos have had that. I think you're correct to a certain point. John Elway doesn't want to oversee that, but I think the problem is what he's really looking for is the Broncos, from his perspective, can't afford to be a team that is continually just treading water. He believes they have to be in contention for a playoff spot to be relevant. Remember, one of the major things that may be driving some of this, the Broncos ownership situation is not only in flux, it's in complete disarray. Pat Bowlen was nominated to the Hall of Fame just a few weeks ago, and deservedly so. As we pointed out, last time they had two losing seasons in a row was 1972, and that was before Bowlen owned the team. It's never happened on his watch. But Pat Bowlen hasn't run the team on a day-to-day basis in years now, and there is sort of this unnerving Game of Thrones type of situation happening behind the scenes between family members, specifically one of his oldest daughters, Beth, from his first marriage, and one of his youngest daughter, Brittany, from his second marriage, both of whom have expressed interest in controlling the team. So the ownership situation is really messy, and it got messy to the point where even at the Super Bowl in Atlanta, Roger Goodell addressed it in his yearly press conference. So that's something that really looms over everything. John Elway has a factor in this, yes, but the fact is this team is somewhat rudderless, and it hasn't been, quite frankly, in decades.
Yeah, are the new coaching changes being well received? You mentioned a lot of guys, you know, with Rick Scangarello, for example, first time being an OC, Fangio, first time a head coach. This is the Broncos we're talking about. They're not like any other team. Are those first time coaching hires, are they being well respected by the fan base that's very intelligent about this kind of stuff?
I think so. But keep in mind, since John Elway has taken over and Gary Kubiak left the role, of course, because of health reasons. But Vic Fangio is the fourth head coach John Elway has already hired. So there has been some turnover there as well. The response to Fangio has been uniformly good. He's a well-regarded football man. And the truth is that the bar is set very low. He didn't have to follow Elvis Presley on stage when you're talking about Vance Joseph. It was kind of like finishing whoever the guy that once opened for Justin Bieber one night in the middle of Wisconsin. So Vance Joseph's tenure was that disastrous that Fangio virtually has nothing whatsoever to accomplish to go ahead and jump over that extremely low bar. Basically, the team just needed an adult in the room, and there's no question that Fangio will provide that.
Sean Drotar, Mile High Sports Radio. Great stuff, my friend. Really appreciate your insight, and I hope to catch up with you soon. Thanks a lot, man.
My pleasure. Take care.
You got it, Sean Drotar. You can follow him at S. Drotar on Twitter for all your Broncos news and information. By the way, enter to win a trip to watch Cactus League Baseball in Arizona. It's the SB Nation Radio Spring Training Getaway presented by Talking Stick Resort. Winner will receive a two-night stay at the luxurious Four Diamond Talking Stick Resort in Scottsdale. Two tickets to see both the Cubs and Rockies and Brewers and D-backs. They play March 23rd and 24th at the Salt River Fields, and a $500 Visa card. Head to springtraininggetaway.com and enter today. That's springtraininggetaway.com. The resort's fantastic. State-of-the-art casino, two championship golf courses, a 650-seat showroom with live entertainment, great dining options. This is a trip you're going to want to take, and you're going to want to win. Go to springtraininggetaway.com and enter today. It is SB Nation AM.
It's Thursday, which means it's Throwback Thursday on SB Nation AM. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
This hour of SB Nation Radio is presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. Who does this song?
Everly Brothers.
Everly Brothers.
This is not the most 50s sounding song
this
ever.
This is very 50s. I feel like I should go get a moon pie.
And a malt.
And a malt. At the burger joint. At the malt shop.
It's Valentine's Day. You know what? Go get a malt and two straws.
Yeah, can I go get a malt? Can you get that?
How hygienic was that, too? Yeah. You know, sit there with two straws.
Yeah, exactly. Aww. Do they have old-fashioned soda shops anymore? Where they?
I know of one.
Is it cool?
And it's kind of like, yeah, it actually is. We ate there, and I had that feel to it. I'm like, oh, you know. Yeah. And if I didn't have kids with me, I would have said, you know, let's sit at the counter.
When I was at the Coca-Cola Museum in Atlanta, they talked about how, like, a soda guy would, you'd squirt the soda syrup, and then you guy would pour it, you know, give you the carbonated water. And I thought, does anybody do that today? Like, can you go to a place where, like, we do it the old-fashioned way? I doubt it. I don't think that's economically feasible.
There's still some places. They'll charge you an arm and a leg for it.
There's got to be some place where you can feel like, hey, take the Wayback Machine back to the old days where you get Coca-Cola in a glass for a
nickel. This place does it because you can get, like, there's a wide variety of sodas you can have. And it's probably that, you know, sitting there, like, little pump action thing, and then, you know, throwing some soda water on top of it.
Yeah, no kidding.
Stir it up.
Yeah. Go get yourself an egg cream.
Ooh.
You don't know what an egg cream is? What's wrong with you? You never heard of an egg cream?
I have heard of an egg cream.
Okay, an egg. What is it?
I don't know. It sounds too rich for my blood.
An egg cream is chocolate syrup, but you got to use Bosco's chocolate syrup. And then
what if I want to use Hershey's?
Well, then you put milk. Yeah, you want to use. Well, you can use Hershey's if you want. Call it something else. Then you put milk, and then you put soda water, and it makes a foam at the top. Okay. Of the drink, but there's no egg in it.
There's no egg in it? All right.
There's foam at the top of the drink. So it's like carbonated chocolate milk, but it creates a nice white foam at the top.
Hmm.
So
that does sound good.
That's a Brooklyn staple.
I'm not from Brooklyn, Tony.
Well, yeah.
I'm from that health food only mecca, Southern California.
Only some of us can be so lucky to be born in Brooklyn, New York, so. There you go. That's an egg cream for you.
Egg cream.
I tried to make one for my kids, and they didn't quite like it. And I was like, well, all right, well, I'll try.
But why Bosco's?
Because that's the chocolate syrup that they use.
Okay.
Yeah. You can order it online. It's the best egg cream syrup, so they say. I don't know. I have to ask my father about this. He knows all about egg creams. It's not like I can go to get one here in Nashville, Tennessee.
You know what? I guarantee you there is a place. You just got to find it.
That's very true.
I mean, the place we go to, we went there once. It's in a section outside of Houston. Small little downtown area outside of Houston.
Little downtown? Very good.
Yep. Looks like it has that 50s feel to it. We walked in there. It's like, we're just hungry. I'm like, oh, hey, look at this place.
Well, I like to recommend, by the way, for Joe Flacco to try a number of Denver, eateries, including Casa Bonita.
You should get in touch with him.
So, Joe, go enjoy yourself in the Mile High City when you get there, whenever, next month, 6 weeks from now. It's SB Nation AM.